Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Zeoli.
The gag order on Donald Trump, completely unconstitutional. The details of Stormy Daniels' story about alleged sex with Trump are legally irrelevant, but it's all designed to hurt him politically. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 is the number on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. And major solar flares are going to be erupting all around us as the National Oceanographic Administration has put out now solar flare warnings, big time warnings. We're going to get to see the northern lights all over the country, which is pretty cool. But the severe solar storm could trigger the northern lights as far south as Alabama tonight. And they also say it could also deeply affect computers, cell phones, GPS, electromagnetic storms, and EMCs, as they're called, EMCs. So be on the lookout for that tonight. I'll talk a little bit more about that as we continue along the show. This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place. We'll be back there live on Friday, June 21st for our next live show. Rooms are selling out fast. So make your reservation today by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com is the number. You know, in everything regarding this trial that's happening here, and I can't stress this enough. All the details that we've been talking about today, all the details regarding prophylactics and protection, and you know, none of it is legally relevant to the case at hand. None of it. The details are done entirely to just humiliate Donald Trump. The process is the punishment. As I've told you before, the process is the punishment. That's what they're trying to do. And this gag order against Trump doesn't give him the ability tomorrow night in Wildwood to stand up there and say that everything Stormy Daniels says, she's a liar, she's a horse face, and she'll do and say anything for money. She's can fool people into believing ghosts are real, and she can make people believe that she can talk to the dead, and she's making people believe this story happened. He can't say any of those things. He can't say any of those things because if he says the wrong thing, they'll jail him. And he said it would be a great honor to go to jail for the Constitution. But he can't go to jail today because he's got the Wildwood rally tomorrow, and he's smart enough to not do it on a Friday because then he may have to spend the weekend in jail. But the question is, will he purposely say something to violate the gag order just to go to jail? You know, if I were advising him, this is a tricky one, right? This is a tricky one, whether or not how that plays optically. But think about that. Just noodle on that for a few minutes as we think about what could potentially happen. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in. But for now, let us turn to our friend, Dr. Wilfred Riley. The book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, comes out very, very soon. Available for pre-order now. Will be released on June 11th. He is a political science professor at Kentucky State University. How are you today, Wilfred Riley?
Doing pretty well. Today was our graduation day.
Oh, congratulations. Excellent.
Yeah, it went well.
Who was the commencement speaker?
The commencement speaker was the president of a banking association in Kentucky. He did a good job. The most notable thing, though, was that we commissioned some of our junior officers, lieutenants in the Army, Marines, that kind of thing. And one of them was female, and her boyfriend, who was one of the other officers, got down on one knee and proposed to her.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Yeah, so no one expected that to happen. He had a ring, a nice diamond, hidden somewhere in the uniform, and he got down on the knee and said something like, "I'm undertaking a risky mission today." It was like a pretty good little speech. And the audience just went crazy. Like, all the women were going hysterical. People were letting balloons go and all this stuff. The horse mascot was running around the room. It was genuinely touching.
Did she say yes?
Yes. I mean, otherwise it would have been absolutely. I mean, it was risky. That was the thing. I mean, they're going to different units. Like, it would have been horrible if she'd said no. But, I mean, I assume they talked about it a little bit beforehand.
Well, that's wonderful. That's a really great story. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. And that's the kind of thing that should go viral. And where are the pictures?
Yeah, well, actually, I posted this on social media. I mean, there's a video of it. It's going a little viral in Kentucky. I don't know if anyone's really taken it national yet. But I wouldn't be surprised if that gets a little shine around the country.
All right, so what we'll do is we'll retweet that, Dr. Wilfred Riley, from your account so that everybody can see it. That's a great way to end the week with a real heartwarming story like that. Excellent. Love it. Good news out of academia for once. I have a story for you that I wanted to ask you about. This is from Reason.com. Academics use imaginary data in their research. Now, we talked about that book, White Rural Rage, and how that book is pure BS, the statistics that we're using there, the data that's used in there. But this article goes into a lot of things about Claudine Gay at Harvard, how they, for example, she used regression analysis to estimate white voting patterns. She analyzed 10 districts with black representatives and observed that those with more voting age whites had lower turnout at the polls than her model predicted. So she concludes that whites must be the ones not voting. She comments, she committed what is known as ecological fallacy. And this article goes into great detail about this and how academia does this. So what is ecological fallacy?
Well, there's several variants on the ecological fallacy. I mean, what's being talked about that in that article is something that I don't think most people know, and it's worth discussing. Like, a lot of the data you see in academic articles isn't data that exists. It's data that's generated from estimates using other data. Now, you might just say, isn't that just what we'd call made-up BS if we were gambling or playing the stock market? And the answer is yes. The classic example, there's a data set. If you ever watch white guys and black guys arguing about race, which they've been known to do on occasion on the Facebooks and Twitters, there's a famous data set of IQ scores that purports to measure like every country in the world. And this is often cited by people teasing each other because it includes all these crazy outliers, like Equatorial Guinea is the lowest scoring, quote unquote, black country at 59. But there are, quote unquote, white countries like Albania at 72. Just stuff that looks really questionable, like the highest scoring country, the average is Hong Kong at 108. And you ask, well, how'd they get those scores? And the answer is they made them up. The scores were compared to, they were created by looking at surrounding countries and estimating how nearby countries would do based on things like their income and the quality of their school system, basically. Some of them were estimated with, like, the largest population of people from that country you could find. So, like, the Equatorial Guinea score was estimated as school for, quote-unquote, retarded boys in France. So it's just, like, it's all nonsense. Like, there were only 40 countries where you could really go around, like, Nigeria and Africa, like, France and Europe, like, real countries, no offense, where you could actually go around and test everybody. So every other country, you just take the Nigerian average and you divide it by two or whatever. You take the French average and you add 8 points. I'm assuming the French didn't lead Europe. So that sort of thing is surprisingly common. And I don't think most people understand that. Most people think that if you're looking at a list of IQ scores or, you know, presidential voting predictions or something like that, that they actually went through every county in the USA and they looked at who people are going to vote for. No, not usually.
And there's other things too. There was a paper published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, written up by CNN and the New York Post. A team of academics claimed to show that age-adjusted death rates soared 106% during the pandemic among renters who had received eviction filing notices, compared to 25% for a control group. But as they go on to say, I mean, the status of this, the authors make all kinds of assumptions. Like, if the authors had assumed that all the unknowns were still alive, the COVID era mortality increase would be 22% for tenants who got eviction notices versus 25% who didn't. It wouldn't have been statistically significant. So they have to, they just kind of like, it's like for shock value almost, they put this stuff out there.
Well, you need to get published. I mean, so like a baseline salary in academia is like $59,000. So you have to write books. And I mean, of course, if you're, you know, like washing windows or something, you're making a bit less than that. It's a perfectly respectable working class salary. But I mean, when you see professors driving Saabs and that kind of thing, I mean, that's because you're writing books. It's because you, as I do, I'm not making fun of this, but you have a column in a major magazine. It's because you're getting grants from the government. And so to do that, you have to find something that's novel and interesting. And that's why you see these headlines like alcohol and oral sex cure cancer, not to be crude or make fun of it, but like all this stuff that USA Today is going to publish. Yeah, I mean, so like with the thing that's like renters or people who get eviction notices are more likely to die of COVID than stable homeowners, obviously the implication is that people who are at the mercy of cruel, conservative, white, male, Christian landlords we're more likely to succumb from this disease. The reality is that, like, first, even if you didn't just make up that data, which they did, you'd have to adjust for a whole bunch of different things. Like, are people in the renter pool younger? Are they more working class? Are they fatter? Are they more likely to be heavy drinkers, cocaine users? You'd have to adjust for all these things. I mentioned the last one because that's a nasal respiratory virus. You'd have to adjust for everything that would make you more likely to get ill from COVID. You also have to look at the baseline rate. Like, the fatality rate from COVID was like 0.4%. So you're talking about a difference probably of 0.8% versus 0.4%. So there are all these different things that you have to understand. Like, you're not talking about 20% versus 10%. You're talking about a 99.2% survival rate versus a 99.6% survival rate, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen anyway.
And I love your point, though, because that's it's the evil landlords. And they're trying to push a policy at the time, which was that you couldn't kick anybody out for not paying their rent. And that became one of the flags that the blue states waved. And also, if you remember, the CDC made that rule until the court said, get out of here. You don't have the authority to do that. But that they used that study to make the argument that you should not be able to kick out a tenant who's not paying their rent. There's another one, too, about gun control. This was done in Connecticut. It was they did a study where it was titled Association Between Connecticut's Permit to Purchase Handgun Law and Homicides. It was published in the American Journal of Public Health. Cooked up data to use as a control, and it claimed that a 1994 gun control law passed in Connecticut cut firearm homicides by 40%. Okay. 40%. But as the paper points out, 40% compared to what? The authors arrived at their conclusion by concocting an imaginary state to serve as the control group, combining numbers from California, Maryland, Nevada, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island. The fictional state had 40% more homicides than the real Connecticut. They made up a state.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of this, again, I'm not familiar with every single one of these articles, although I think I read the original article here. I didn't read the debunking. But, yeah, like, people need to understand that this all depends on what we would say is the level of adjustment, like the different variables you take into account. So if you're looking at differences in police shooting rates between black and white people, which is one of the things I research professionally, right? You're always going to find that there are per capita more black guys that get shot by the cops. Now, overall, there are always going to be a lot more white guys, Appalachians and Floridians and so on, that get shot by the cops. But per capita, it's more black dudes. But if you adjust for crime rate, which is higher in the black community because we're younger and more working class and so on, that goes away immediately. So if you don't take that into account, you find that there's this huge difference, and you can just attribute that to racism. You can make that up. If you do take that into account, you can't bring up racism at all because you've explained the difference, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And this is true. This is true across every field. This same thing of, do you adjust for one thing or two things or 12 things? So that's the first and most basic point here. The second, and I guess actually that's where we can stop with this one, because this is just a level of analysis problem. Like, here, the correct level of analysis is one, I would say. Like, if you want to see if murders have declined in the state of Connecticut, you could just look at the state of Connecticut, which exists. Like, I mean, so, you know, if there's a gun law that's passed in Connecticut, you know, in year one, there might be, 400 murders in that state. In year two, there probably would be a slight decline. There'd be a major decline in freedom, slight decline in murders. I oppose gun laws. But so in year two, there are 370 murders. You can say that the gun law caused a decline of 30 murders. That's it. It's not hard to figure out. So if you see an author doing something very complex where they're like, if we assume that Connecticut was the size of Texas, the decline would have been 900 murders. You can assume, I mean, like, we're making fun of it, but that's what they did. I mean, like, they assume the state had the murder patterns of four different states, and it was as big as all of them combined. Like, that's a very fancy way of saying that it was a lot larger than Connecticut. I mean, we don't really need to go more complex than that. Like, what you can just say is, okay, they're just playing games. You know, they're working with a larger population with a more diverse, I mean, again, minority homicide rates are higher, more diverse population. In Connecticut itself, just look at what happened to the murders, and that's your answer.
But I mean, obviously, most people just read the headlines. So they look at that, they go, oh, it cut murders by 40%. Wow, that's great. That law must be great. And then they'll use that in congressional testimony. They'll use that, you know, to advocate policy, but they won't actually go through it to find out that the data is complete and utter bull s. You know what I mean? So that's the problem here.
Yeah, and it is. And the point I just made, actually, I think it's pretty important, because different states need different policies. If you have a huge, diverse state with a bunch of young brothers and rednecks that might actually shoot at each other from time to time, you're still certainly not going to ban guns. But do you maybe require a pistol training class from time to time? Maybe. Like, if you are Texas, you might want to do some things. Yeah, I still probably wouldn't. But, I mean, if you're Connecticut and you have almost no murders, you're going to take a different approach to gun safety. So it doesn't make sense to say, if Connecticut had the same size and the same racial composition of population as Texas, Connecticut would have this many murders. Like, you know, if my uncle had two ovaries, he'd be my aunt. It doesn't make any sense. But that happens all the time. And it's just, it really is kind of funny, because you're kind of just, as a very smart layman, like, pointing this out to me. You get used to reading it in the journals, like, oh yeah, they're using the hypothetical 9-time state size increase model, which is pretty close to being a real thing. It's called the state size increase model. But why is that a valid methodology? I mean, it's very arguable that it's not. You know, but people need to be aware that this kind of stuff does go on in the social sciences. Like, when people say the experts, like, obviously there are experts who go to school for 10 years and who know stuff you don't know how to do, like surgeons and pilots and even theologians. And if they say something, it's probably true in their field. Like, I can disagree with a Hindu theologian about his religion, but I can't coherently disagree with his interpretation of it. I can't say, well, Shiva didn't say that.
Right.
But when we talk about someone who has a master's degree in sociology, like, I mean, I have the equivalent degree as part of my degree in political science. Like, the average upper middle class person, MBA or something like that, has pretty much that background. So when people start saying things like, yeah, see, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the business numbers and I'm going to multiply them by two, you can say, well, in my field, that'd be tax fraud. Like, it's the same thing.
Can we go back to the brothers and rednecks shooting each other? Because that just sounds like a great movie plot right there. And I want to make
a plot of a lot of movies. They made it a lot in the 70s. It's sold very well.
Oh, man. Dr. Wilfred Riley's here. The book is Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. It's coming out. The sequel, Brothers and Rednecks Shooting Each Other, will be released next year. I know we're working on a date to get you in person. A lot of people are excited to meet you, and I hope we can do that very, very soon. Last point on this, and I'll move on to the next thing, but my producer, Matt, wanted to point out that there was a great instance reference in the article that 13% of data in a paper titled, quote, Green Innovations and Patent in OECD Countries was generated using the autofill feature in Microsoft Excel.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, these are all variations on kind of the same thing, which is just sort of making up data. So I'm not an Excel guy. I'm a Stata and SPSS guy. And there are programs that are less advanced, like Excel, which the business guys use. There are programs that are more advanced, like R, maybe Python. I use standard regression as political science, not physics, whatever. But so all of them have a feature where you can just put in data that matches the average of your data.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, with the IQ scores, the way they got the 50s and so on was to take, like, the lowest real score would probably be, like, a 70 for Kenya. And even there, I mean, does it make sense to give tests to people that go to school through the third grade and then become shepherds or something? I don't really think so. I think if you were to retest those countries in Eastern Europe and in Africa with modern education, you'd probably get nothing amazing, but, like, scores of 90 or something like that. We'd all be within the human normal range. But anyway, like, the way you got those crazy scores was probably just to test the lowest scoring real countries with trains and roads, and then to extrapolate what the scores would be for countries with even lower incomes and no trains and roads. And so you'd get things like 49. Mm-hmm. Now, is that meaningful, given that, like, chimpanzees score at 55? Like, probably not.
Yeah.
But you're using data fill. And so that created, like I said, that created, like, then white and black guys are screaming at each other online. Now you can say, well, Albania is it, whatever. No, it's not. Like, it's in Europe. They have an airport. No, it's not. Like, it's just not.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. Like, it just, that, however, is an example of the risks of using autofill data. I recall, like, I'm making fun of some of these countries, Gambia and Albania and so on, obviously, countries. But Nepal, on the side of the Himalayas, for a long time, people thought their average IQ score actually was 42. It really suffered as a result of one of these models before we had modern computers. And this was a thing people believed. It was written in books, and people speculated that this might have been an evolution of the, what are they called, the Sherpa people in response to low oxygen or whatever. And it turned out in the modern era, of course, this is an Asian population group, and they can read fine, and they'll guide you up the mountains these days. It's just, well, we're making up the baseline assumptions in a lot of our research. So autofill is literally what it sounds like. If one number is a 3, one number is a 5, you autofill a 4.
Since you are the author of the book, Hate Crime Hoax, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. The teens who were kicked out of an elite Catholic school for, quote unquote, blackface were awarded $1 million by a jury after proving it was just an acne mask. Have you heard of this story?
Yeah, I think this is going to start happening more and more often with, like, Marine officers and so on. I mean, like, the post-George Floyd, we saw an absolute panic about anything that could offend black people. And You can't.
I'm laughing because in Philadelphia, there was at one point, there was a, like a rope in a tree, and they went crazy thinking it was a noose. And it was actually, it was a black guy who actually was using it to exercise. But I mean, you would have thought like the Klan set up an encampment there for lynching. You know what I mean? Like the freak out over this. And the guy's like, no, I just threw a rope up. I was just doing pull-ups. But anyway, I'm sorry. So go on.
No, that's happened literally 8 or 9 times. I mean, that same thing happened in Oakland. There was a guy who had it was literally like the pull-up bands where, like, if you can't do individual pull-ups, I still use these bands sometimes. You have like a rubber band, you tie it around the tree, you put your foot in the band, and you do 10 bounces on a branch or whatever. And I mean, it's tied with a hangman's knot because you don't want it to break while you're pulling yourself up. I mean, this is almost always used by men that weigh like 200 plus pounds. So yeah, there have been a bunch of situations where these have been hung from trees or from swing sets or something, and some panicked liberal has come along and found it and called the cops and said, like, my God, they're hanging people. So basically, though, the blackface thing, yeah, this kid wore an acne mask to school. Charcoal acne masks are very common. They're gray. They're not black. And it was a young white male as opposed to the usual woman of any race. And so the kid was suspended. He was harshly penalized. He's apparently been in fights as a result of this and so on. And this whole time he was just saying, like, look, I have acne. Clearasil didn't work. And he finally sued, and he was awarded, it was $1.1 million. And, I mean, my reaction is good. Like, it's going to take lawfare for people to stop doing this kind of stuff. There were also complaints about Navy SEALs wearing blackface in their TV ad.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were wearing war paint for, like, a night strike. And there was at least some serious discussion about whether this should be stopped. And the military, thank God, was like, no, because we get people killed.
Right.
You can't have guys with like bright white Irish faces jumping out of planes into, you know, developing countries. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, like all of that, that should be harshly penalized. These things that are putting people at risk, so on, that should be stopped immediately.
Last thing for you is the new Title IX changes. We're going to go back to the kangaroo court for, you know, young men who are accused. And as you pointed out on the show last time we talked about this, you know, these are guys who were, you know, 3 days later, 3 weeks later, the woman revokes consent. Also, there's the other aspect of this, of course, which is now, you know, biological men, women's locker rooms, women's spaces, and all this other stuff. But, you know, the thing about all of this that just amazes me is the fact that the president just comes out and he puts this edict out there, and then he wants everybody to go along with it. And, like, you're a hateful bigot if you don't embrace this. Like, so, you know, Riley Gaines or somebody else like this, they're the bigots because they're not jumping up and cheering for this and turning around and saying, well, this is great. And that, I think, is also changing. I think more people now are saying, you know what, I'm not a bigot. I don't want my young girl to have to, like, walk around with a dude, you know, sporting an erection in the sorority house. Like, I don't think that's okay. And the fact that the sorority girls come out and say it too, I think is helpful. Like, hey, no, not for nothing, but, you know, we live here, okay? And we don't want this guy walking around with a Woody in our shower.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's difficult for people, especially men, to talk about some of these things. And this comes up with a lot of these conversations that feminists initiated over the past couple of decades. Like, is it demeaning for your partner to want food and sex? The answer is obviously no. But, I mean, it's of course not. It's a basic relationship role. And people, finally, men and women have started saying that, and relationships are stabilizing again. But it's a bit awkward to talk about as a guy. You don't want to sound like, you know, Archie Bunker in the 50s. But it's the same thing times 10 with this. Like, no one wants to seem like they're against consent. But, like, when we talk about Title IX, I mean, both of these standards are completely absurd. Like, it's hard to even describe. Like, the idea that someone could be mildly drunk, enthusiastically have sex with you, and then accuse you of rape is absolutely absurd. That's not the rule under American law, and it's definitely not the rule in any other country in the world except maybe Sweden. So, I mean, this is a situation where the pendulum swung back too far. Like, we used to have some of the harsher laws in the world toward women, marital rape is legal, all that. And again, now, when you talk about when the second wave of feminism started, this is 60 years ago, this sort of thing. you know, we listened to women in society to some extent. That was good. Moved to this kind of crazy point. Now I think we're going to stabilize a little bit. But yeah, Biden is going to be, you know, a pendulum move before that happens. So that's part of it. The trans thing, I do think even people on the left have kind of had enough of. And part of that is because a lot of people, like the detransitioners, have started writing about what this actually is. Like, I mean, most people now know what autogynephilia is. And I mean, that's a paraphilia. That's technically a sexual perversion. Like, there are men who are aroused by the idea of them being women.
Yeah.
So the majority of people who identify as trans women are not, in fact, hapless gay boys that have had penile surgery and are going to form loving bonds with men. Like, the perhaps two-thirds majority of them are, like, sexually intact males who are interested in women and who also like the idea of themselves wearing women's clothes. And, yeah, most people who are men our age are dads, and they don't want that person in a locker room with their wife or their daughter. I mean, as men get involved, and as women get more involved, of course, I think we're gonna see the pendulum on that turn now.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that. Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. Pre-order it now. It comes out June, and we'll have Dr. Wilfred Riley back next week. I'm going to ask you about furries, just so you know.
Furries. All right. Fair enough.
Furries. All right.
So I'll do my research.
You do your research.
Might buy an outfit.
And we'll talk about that next week. Have a good week, my friend. Thank you for joining us.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right, now listen, we're going to get into a little more of the Trump stuff, obviously. But I got to tell you, with all the rain we've been having lately, your backyard may have a real problem. A problem that's never going to get better on its own. So what you need to do is you need to reach out to Garden State Earthworks. That's the company who saved me twice. Two different homes. First home had a wet basement that was absolutely, I mean, Lou Vargo came in and said, you'll never get another drop of water in this basement ever again. And we never did. Then we move into our new house. The backyard is a swamp. But Garden State Earthworks drain that water away. That's what they do. They're the experts at what they do. They're the best at what they do. There's no one better. Don't trust a landscape company with your backyard when it comes to water problems. You need the experts. 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. Now, they're extremely busy this time of year, but you tell them I sent you, they will make you a priority. And trust me, these water problems never get better on their own. They only get worse. So please reach out to them today. They will drain the water away, guaranteed. 856-848-4444. GardenStateEarthworks.com.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. you remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, so tomorrow, big day in Wildwood, of course. We're excited for that. No question about it. We are fired up. Fired up. I'm excited. A couple things I need to get to. First of all, according to the AARP, Donald Trump has a 10-point lead over Joe Biden with people age 50 and older in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. How about that? This is Trump going after Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And I'm glad he's going after RFK Jr. RFK Jr. is, no question about it, a Democrat plant. He's going to take votes from Joe Biden. Cut number two.
Because are the highest in the United States, in New York State and New England, because of this guy, with the exception of California and Gavin Newsom, who's the worst governor in the state's history and one of the worst governors in the history of our country. I'd even take Biden over Jr. because our country would last about a year or two longer than it would with Junior. It would collapse almost immediately. And his family, a radical left, a crazy left, a bunch of lunatics, would take over, and our country will die very quickly. So RFK's views on vaccines are fake, as is everything else about his candidacy. He is not a Republican, so don't think you're going to vote for him and feel good. He's a radical left Democrat. Let the Democrats have RFK Jr. They deserve him.
There you go. Fauci's back. Fauci. Never gone away. I don't know, Matt, if you can grab this clip. I sent it to you, but I don't know if it's working, the clip.
Oh, I have it.
So he's talking about the pandemic treaty. This is the one now where you would have the basically the WEF, the evil Bond villains over there, all these other people who would control everything if there's another global pandemic. And they would control everything. The United States would lose all its sovereignty. And there's obviously a lot of pushback against that, as there should be pushback against that. And Fauci doesn't like the fact that there's pushback against that. Excuse me, I got to say, Asanjo Fauci, Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. You always have to say that by law, of course. Take a listen.
Interestingly, there's a lot of pushback about that, even from the United States. In fact, I was mentioning to Patrick and Chris that one of the chairs of the committee that's investigating COVID, Brad Winstrup from Ohio, is pushing back completely on that, saying taking away the autonomy of a country to decide what they want to do, when really it's the natural thing to do. If you don't like the word treaty, call it an agreement, you know? Just do some semantics to make you feel a little bit more comfortable about it. But there is a pushback. But
Yeah. Why would there be pushback to just let the world rule the United States of America? Why would there be pushback on that? There was an Ohio State grad speaker who wrote his address while on drugs, on psychedelic drugs, a psychedelic speech. We don't have the audio of that, but we do have the audio of this commencement speaker who was at Thomas Jefferson University right here in Philadelphia. Now, Henry found this clip. Henry, where'd you find this anyway?
It was just circulating on Twitter, and I, you know, saw it thanks to some Philly outlets because it was at Thomas Jefferson, and man, I...
So what occurs here in this clip? Set it up for us.
So it's, you know, graduation. Everyone's walking across the stage. They say your name, right? The only issue, though, is that whoever was saying the names was pronouncing everything way too phonetically instead of just being like, oh, this is just that name. So, I mean, if you wanted to here, we could play some of it, and you could guess, what name is that? What name did she just try to say?
Okay. All right. Let's do it. Let's do it. Right. Let's do it.
Michilu Iabri. Jaseku Lynn Boer.
What do you think that one was?
What do you think the first one, Michilu? What do you think that one was?
I don't know. What was it?
Megan Louise.
Megan Louise?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's get another one.
All right, the second one was Jessica Lynn Bauer, by the way. All right, here's the next.
Aaliyah Benamon.
I'm thinking this is a foreign exchange student here, right?
That one wasn't too bad. Her name is Alina Benamon. So we'll give her one.
All right, she gets one. Okay, that's good.
Alisuna Cole Bishop.
That's really bad.
This is a person from Spain that she's introducing.
This would be Allison Nicole Bishop.
Okay.
All right. Victoria Lee Stupid Cross.
Victoria Lee Stupid Cross?
Victoria Elizabeth Bruce.
How did she... I have to hear that one again. Hang on.
Victoria Lee Zubeth Ross.
Okay.
Mylena Zubeth Camp.
That's a Hungarian exchange student from Russia.
Yeah, I'd say far from that. Her name was Molly Elizabeth Camp.
How did everybody in the room just not completely just
Well, that's the
up?
Thing. Like, all these students are, like, looking around, like, what is she saying right now? Is that my name? Like,
the audience does kind of start to turn at the very end.
Do they?
All
right, good.
Do you want to hear the end? Or
Yes, please.
All right, let me skip forward a little bit here.
Allison Care Camp Bull.
Allison Care Camp Bull.
That wasn't the worst.
All right.
Allison Carol Campbell.
This is still pretty bad.
Not good, but
this is where the crowd turns.
Thomas.
That she just gives up and doesn't pronounce the rest of his name.
Thomas Michael Canavari Jr.
Unbelievable. That's great. That's fantastic. Wow. Okay. I want her to start coming on to introduce all the guests that come on our show. Can we do that? That would be great.
I'm sure she has a cameo now. I mean, that's what I would do.
Yeah. That would be good. Any more? Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, she's going to come on now and go, Wilfred. I want to hear her pronounce Wilfred Riley and Dr. Victoria Coates. Can we get her to do that for us? That would be very helpful. We can do that.
Confuse our listeners.
Dervik Torea Coates.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a pretty good pronunciation.
That actually would work. All right, so we have I got a big fourth and final hour coming up, but let me play this for you. This is I got to share this with you. There's there's a lot going on here. I sent you this clip, Matt, too. Let me see here now. I'm completely distracted by this. All right. No, I didn't. Hang on. There's a story right now. Oh shoot. I'm trying to think if I can fit this in. This is now. All right. It's about Israel, but I'm very confused by it because it's a very misleading story. The New York Times just posted a short time ago, and you sent it to me, Matt, but it's not very clear to understand. And it basically says right now that they're accusing Israel of breaking international law. Okay, they're accusing Israel of breaking international law as the excuse now for not giving them the weapons. But when you read the story, it doesn't actually give you any examples of Israel actually breaking international law. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, you are correct. They actually changed the title to clarify things. So State Department released a report saying that U.S. weapons may have been used in violating humanitarian law in Israel. But then they also said that there was not any specific evidence that would trigger punitive action against Israel. And then I believe the exact quote from the report was that Israel has the knowledge, experience, and tools to implement best practices for mitigating civilian harm in its military operations. So that would conclude that they should receive the military assistance that was promised to them via Congress.
Okay. Interesting.
It looks like the State Department was trying to find an excuse not to send the weaponry and kind of bail out that.
And they, yeah, so they were lying.
And
they
failed.
Were lying.
Yeah.
And then the New York Times changed it. So the headline was changed now to the State Department found no specific cases of Israel misusing U.S. weapons that would justify withholding aid.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. So originally they came out and said, high civilian casualties raise questions about whether Israel is doing enough to limit harm, the report says. Then they changed it to the State Department found no specific cases of Israel misusing U.S. weapons that would justify withholding aid.
Actually, scratch that. It was actually the second one that you read was their original headline. Then they tried to switch it a bit so it would benefit the Biden administration. At least that's what it looks like. Although it arrives at the same exact conclusion.
So the New York Times is playing games again.
It seems like. It's weird that they changed that headline so quickly.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. I'm so tired of these people with all the little manipulations that are going on here. Bottom line is that what we can take away from this is that Israel did not violate any international law. Right?
Yeah, that says there's no specific instances that they could point to.
Okay. So there you go. There you go. All right. Unbelievable. Listen, we have a big fourth and final hour coming up straight ahead for you. Tomorrow we'll be in Wildwood. It's going to be a great time, a lot of fun, and I hope you will be there to join us. I hope you'll be there because it's going to be great. We'll be at Mulligan's Shore Bar. Mulligan's Shore Bar is the place to be. You're going to want to be there, no doubt about it. Or go to the Trump rally. You can still get your tickets at DonaldJTrump.com. Either way, you will absolutely love being in Wildwood tomorrow, no doubt about it. We'll have a great time together, so please do that. All right, I want to tell you, though, before we get into the fourth file, I'm running into more of the Stormy Daniels stuff. There's a Supreme Court ruling today on civil asset forfeiture that's a little bit confusing, and that's the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria, VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. There's a Supreme Court ruling on civil asset forfeiture that is a little bit problematic, but it's not all bad news. Even though it didn't go our way in ending civil asset forfeiture, there's some good news. I'll break that down for you as well. But I want to tell you about the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place, and the rooms are going fast for the summer. In fact, they're almost sold out. The June midweek stays are phenomenal because the specials that you get resort credits that you can use at the resort, at Hemingway's Restaurant for great food and drinks, the outdoor pool bar. You can use it at the beach concession stand. Take your family on a whale-watching boat cruise if you like. However you want to use the resort credits is up to you. And the more you stay, the longer you stay, the more resort credits that you get. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Just make your reservation today. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. But you don't want to wait because the rooms are selling out. We'll be there next time on Friday, June 21st. So you could stay a midweek stay in June, and then Friday night you can be there to enjoy the show with us. The Grand is also the perfect place to host a wedding, corporate event, baby and bridal shower. With four ballrooms, they have a perfect space to make lifetime memories for you and your family. So just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. We'll see you there Friday, June 21st.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.